Well, we do believe that books can change people and society, so I figured if that's true, then paperback books can change even more people because they reach so many more.
That's Kenneth Davis on The Paperback with BookBeat. I'm Don Swaim. Davis has studied the history of paperbacks and writes about them in his book, Two-Bit Culture.
There had been paperbacks published going back as far as the colonial times. Chapbooks, sermons, children's books all appeared in paper covers. In Europe, there's a long tradition of paperback publishing. However, in America, there was this elitist attitude that afflicted the publishing industry that the mass market of Americans didn't want to read, and people who did want to read didn't want to read in paper covers.
Kenneth Davis says it's hard to imagine what America was like before the paperback came along.
There were 500 bookstores in America in the 1930s. Most trade books sold 2,500 copies or fewer.
Davis says reading habits were changed overnight in 1939 when publisher Robert DeGraff launched Pocket Books, the paperbacks with the pictures of the kangaroo in the corner.
It was the right size, it was the right shape, just it was had a sort of comfortable feel about it. They published the right sort of titles.
The first pocketbook was Lost Horizon by James Hilton. By 1941, pocketbook sales had reached 8.5 million copies, and other publishers jumped on the bandwagon. Why did paperbacks catch on so rapidly?
Inexpensive, widely distributed using the offices of the magazine and newspaper distributors who put magazines and newspapers in the airports and train terminals and bus stations and drugstores. This is what the paperback revolution really was. More books for more people at less cost than ever before.
Kenneth Davis, Two-Bit Culture is the title of his history of the paperback, published by Houghton Mifflin. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Readers might be surprised to learn that the biggest selling paperback of all time is Dr. Spock's Baby and Child Care.
The book is up around 30 million copies now, and in sales, that's second only to the Bible.
Kenneth Davis, whose history of the paperback is titled Two-Bit Culture. Davis says Spock's book on child care was a perfect example of timing. It came out in 1946, just as the GIs were returning from the war and the baby boom had begun.
For the first time in American history, here was a book that was available to the mass market of Americans, and more important than its availability was its message. Spock said, "Trust yourself, you know more than you think you do."
But as the paperback caught on, the cover art was often lurid and misrepresented the text. Dashiell Hammett's Maltese Falcon, for example.
It had a picture of a woman getting undressed, and the copy line says, "Sam Spade searched each object of the woman's clothing," and he's sort of fingering her brassiere or something, totally out of context.
And Davis says paperbacks began running into trouble with the censor.
There's this sense that it's okay if it's in hardcover because only a few elite people who can afford it, the intelligent, the educated, will read that. But once you put it in paperback and it's available to the masses, then these ideas become dangerous.
Soon books were being written expressly for the paperback market.
Louis L'Amour's fans started reading him in paperback. Louis L'Amour started writing what we call paperback originals back in the old days, the Gold Medal line, which was set up in 1950 as an exclusively original paperback publisher.
It's been a while since paperbacks cost a quarter, but Kenneth Davis, author of Two-Bit Culture, says they changed America's reading habits forever.
Books, no matter what the format, hardcover paperback, trade paperback, mass market paperback, are what counts, and the ideas and the freedom to publish and produce exciting novels, serious nonfiction, books that change the way we look at ourselves and the world is what's really important.
With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.